Good morning, City Well. I invite you to pray with me. Sin duda alguna, tu amor perdura para siempre, oh Dios. Que ese amor y la dirección de tu espíritu sea derramada en abundancia en cada uno de nosotros en este lugar. Y que sea tu Espíritu Santo guiando mi vida, guiando cada palabra que salga de mi boca. Without a doubt, your love endures forever. May that love and the guidance of your Spirit be guiding us. May your Holy Spirit guide every word that comes out of my mouth so that we can experience your love together. Amen. This morning, I will be preaching from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And the Word of God says, when they were approaching Jerusalem in Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Just say this. The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately. They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. The word of God for us, the people of God. I need to confess that I'm nervous and anxious, but may God's will be done. Today, the Christian calendar reminds us that we are transitioning from a season of penance, from a season of abstention, from a season of preparation and fasting, to a time or season of tension. And the tension that I'm talking about is the tension we find in our text for this morning that describes what I think is one of the most political statements Jesus makes in his ministry. In our text, in the well-known passage that describes Jesus' triumphant entrance to Jerusalem, Jesus is making clear that the kingdom he came to establish looks very different to what Jesus' audience has in mind, to what the world expects, and more significantly, to what his disciples have in mind. Not only that, but our text this morning shows us Jesus making it clear that there are non-negotiable requirements to be an active and faithful participant of his kingdom. Are you ready? Are you taking notes? I will disappoint you because what I'm going to say is not something new. I'm sorry. But what I believe, and I'm convinced, that are non-negotiable requirements to be active participants of Jesus' kingdom is that we need to be humble and that we need to love one another. We could leave here, if you will, but I will continue. The practice of the time was for kings to enter capital cities in a triumphal way. And usually they would enter with an impressive army with majestic horses. And they have a very clear purpose. And this purpose was to show how powerful they were. As they planned these entrances, they wanted to make sure that all the people looking at them would feel intimidating. They wanted to convey confidence. They wanted to convey that they were omnipotent. Oh. So in our text, Jesus enters Jerusalem showing his power too. Though a power different from the perspective his audience had about power. His power is his humble posture, is his humility. He enters not with an army, but with a few friends. And as we know, a few friends that were not sure of what he was trying to do. They were questioning in their hearts and minds. He enters not with majestic horses, but with a colt, a young, inexperienced, and clumsy donkey. As he enters, he is recognized as a king and prophet. But what the crowd does not get and fails to understand is that the way Jesus is establishing is that Jesus is establishing his kingdom not by force, not with the use of weapons, but by love. Jesus' love came to challenge the worldview and the way we understand love, which often is a conditional love, which often is a superficial love. Jesus' love gives everything for the sake of the other, even if that means betrayal, torture, and ultimately death. What is very interesting is that a few hours earlier of this triumphant entrance, Jesus had made a clear statement regarding the kingdom he came to establish. In the Gospel of Matthew, right before the triumphant entry, and as Jesus entertained a mother's request to assign the best seat of her sons in his kingdom, Jesus declared, "Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus also makes an important declaration after the triumphant entrance to Jerusalem. In fact, Jesse mentioned this last week. "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." As I think of Jesus' triumphant entrance, or as I was thinking in preparation to be here with you, something that came to mind, it's what we feel when we are in the midst of a crowd. It is hard not to feel the energy. It is hard not to feel the enthusiasm. And it is hard not to follow whatever the crowd is doing. And as I was watching some of the videos from yesterday's march, and as I was listening to some of the speeches, it was hard not to feel the chills in your body as they were putting their hearts there and as they were receiving the response from the crowd. It was very, very powerful. Also, it's 2 weeks now, I think, yeah. 2 weeks ago, a few students and I, Catherine was there too, we were in a processional that the Catholic Church in Guatemala, they have this custom that during Lent, every week, they have a procession. And it depends, in this case, it was the procession of La Dulce Mirada de Jesús, which means the sweet look of Jesus. And so we had the blessing to be there since the very beginning. It starts around 9 a.m. And it's a big image of Jesus with this look. And people carry around the big, I cannot remember the measurements, but it's a big one. I think it's from there to there, and you have like 20 people carrying that thing, and you have people taking turns all day. So we start at 9 a.m., and again, as we were there, I mean, we didn't understand exactly what was going on, but you could feel the energy. You could feel the devotion of the people just showing their love there, or showing their faithfulness. And something else that they do as part of this processional is that they do what they call alfombras. A rug, but this rug is made of leaves, is made of fruit, is made of, I forgot. The aserrín, what is the thing that I ate? Aserrín, but what is in English? Compressed wood. Well, I ate it accidentally because I thought it was a fruit. but as you walk through the city, you see people putting together these big alfombras. And they have different colors. They have different messages. They have different images. But what was very powerful and that the students and I discussed is it was beautiful to see that there were families putting together these alfombras. And this, the idea is that you offer, this is an offering from families or groups, or small groups from churches, saying, we believe that as we put this offering and as Jesus walk over it, we will be blessed. So it was very powerful just to walk around and feel the energy. And we were there at 9 a.m. We saw how they started the procession. And as we were walking to different places that day, we will found the procession. So they process from 9 a.m. until 2 or 3 a.m. So it's very powerful, you know, to see all this. So I invite you to just picture or imagine what Jesus and the disciples were feeling as they enter Jerusalem and they see this crowd. I just cannot help it but to really try to feel what Jesus was feeling. And obviously he felt the energy, he felt the devotion, if you will. So that is the tension that I'm talking about, that Jesus could feel the energy, could feel the devotion of these people, singing hosannas to him, but at the same time he knew that his betrayal, his torture, and his death was close. And I can imagine the disciples being excited, not necessarily understanding why he decided to enter in a donkey, but that seeing all these people excited, I'm sure that they were excited too. But once again, the tension is there, because we know what happens later. So when Jesus enters Jerusalem, he knows he is on his way to the cross. And he knows people do not understand that the kind of freedom Jesus wants to give them is greater than what they expect. People do not understand the oppression Jesus wants to free them from is greater than that of the Roman Empire. Jesus' audience was not getting it. What about us? How often do we do the same? How often do we not get Jesus' signs of what he wants to do in our lives, but rather we insist on having things done our own way, based upon our own expectations and desires. So it is humility what we need in order to be servant of others. It is humility that we need in order to get the significance of Jesus' signs. Without humility, we run the risk of not getting the significance of Jesus' triumphant entrance to Jerusalem. Even worse, we run the risk of not getting the significance of Jesus' last journey on earth toward the cross, his death and resurrection. In his triumphant entrance to Jerusalem, Jesus is not only making it clear that humility is the foundation of his kingdom and is required for those who want to be part of it, but he's also establishing a model to follow of total obedience, which is also needed to be part of Jesus' kingdom. Think about this. When Jesus sends his disciples to ask for the donkey, he instructs them, if there is any questioning, you just respond because the Lord needs it. So when the Lord is asking for something from us, we better be ready to give it up. We need to be ready to give up everything that prevents us from being active participants of God's kingdom on earth. And this can look like this strange request. Jesus had this strange request to the disciples. Jesus basically said, go to a complete stranger and take their donkey and bring it to me. So try to put that scenario today. If someone comes to you asking, well, you might not have a donkey, but asking for your car, and you will be questioning, what are you talking about? Why you want my car? And if someone will tell you the Lord needs it, I don't think that you will be like, sure, take it, right? So yeah, it was a strange request. But obedience in Jesus' kingdom is not about responding to God's logical demands, but rather to respond to God's unexpected demands out of trust. We are trusting that when we obey the Lord, we are contributing to the establishment of His kingdom on earth. So most of the time we feel like obedience is about God and me. It's up to me if I obey what God is asking me to do. But the reality is that when we trust and obey God, we are contributing to the expansion of God's kingdom. The truth is that lack of humility is what keeps us disobeying God. Disobedience to God becomes lack of love for God and neighbor. And lack of love is what keeps our world becoming more corrupt and broken. Jesus' triumphant entrance to Jerusalem not only is a statement of humility and obedience, but also a statement of love. And as I mentioned earlier, a statement of Jesus' love. And I want to take a risk here and say that is not only a statement of Jesus' love, but it's a statement of Jesus' violent love. Oscar Romero, one of my exemplars of holiness, and who will be canonized soon, talk about the violence of love in this way. He said, the violence we preach is not the violence of the sword, the violence of hatred. It is the violence of love, of brotherhood, the violence that wills to beat weapons into sickles for work. I am really convinced that Romero, especially in his last 3 years of ministry, reflected the humility, the obedience, and the love that Jesus wanted to communicate with his triumphant entrance to Jerusalem. The most violent statement of love he made is when he chose to love the oppressed, the tortured, and the poor first, instead of loving the oppressor and the rich first. And please notice, I'm not saying that he chose not to love the oppressor and the rich, but he chose to love first the oppressed and the poor. One of the things that I admire of Romero is that he was very good at having that balance in which he took the side of the oppressed, but he also constantly was saying to the oppressor, God loves you. God wants you to repent. God wants you to stop killing your own people. He never stopped inviting them to repent, reminding them of God's love. Jesus' triumphant entrance to Jerusalem is an invitation for us to ask ourselves how we can let Jesus enter our lives triumphantly. It is an invitation to reflect how Jesus' triumphant entrance informs our witnessing to the world, as well as our way to confront the oppressive powers of our society. I would like to read to you a portion of Romero's sermon on Palm Sunday in 79. I will read it in Spanish first and then in English, if you allow me to do that. Señor, inspira unas estructuras más humanas, más fraternales, en que haya verdaderamente un deseo de la liberación de nuestro pueblo. Es el pueblo que ahora va en pos del divino Mesías que trae redención. Y salimos al encuentro, queridos hermanos, a decir: bendito el que viene, porque sabemos que la redención de los pueblos tiene que venir de Dios, y esta es la invitación también de la Semana Santa. Oremos para que Dios no nos niegue sus fuerzas liberadoras que trajo en Cristo Jesús. Cristo es Dios que viene. Cristo es el Redentor que trae la libertad y la dignidad que hemos perdido. Cristo viene, y este gesto de la liturgia de esta mañana, salirle al encuentro, estar aquí para esperarlo, cumplir el deber de escuchar su palabra, es toda una esperanza. Lord, inspire more human structures that are more fraternal, in which a true desire for liberation of our people exists. The people that now goes following the divine Messiah who brings redemption. And we go out to the encounter, beloved brothers and sisters, to declare, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Because we know that the redemption of the peoples of the world has to come from God. And this is the invitation for the Holy Week. Let us pray so that God will not deny to us the liberating strength God brought in Jesus. Christ is God who comes. Christ is the Redeemer who brings the liberation and dignity we have lost. Christ comes, and this is the gesture of this morning's liturgy. Go out and encounter God. Make sure to be there. Fulfill the duty to listen to the word. As a whole hope. What I would like to do now, as we are in this tension between finishing the season of Lent and transitioning to Holy Week, I would like to invite you, and I think we have a Yes, if it's okay, the prompt. Well, as I was preparing for this sermon, once again, I was trying to think about those moments where I was in the midst of a crowd, that I felt that energy, that I felt that strength to continue in this journey of faith. And something that came to my mind, in my journey, I have had the blessing to be a Catholic, to be a Pentecostal, and to be a Methodist now. But something that I was reminded of this is in my church in Mexico, there was every week there was this invitation to respond to the word. Not only reflecting within yourself, but it was also a communal response. And I would like to invite you to maybe practice together that. Maybe some of you, well, I'm sure that most of, or some of you have also experienced that, but I really would like to invite you to reflect on two questions for a few minutes, to have a silence reflection. And then, as we reflect in silence in these two questions, I will invite you to give yourself the opportunity to offer yourself to Christ. We did this symbolic gesture of bringing the palms to the altar. So I would like to invite you to come to the altar and together have a time of telling God, God, we're here and we're ready to embrace your kingdom. God, we're here to continue adopting that posture of humility to receive what you want for us in this Holy Week. So the two questions are there. So the first one is, in what ways can you let Jesus enter triumphantly in your life? ¿De qué manera puedes dejar que Jesús entre triunfantemente en tu vida? And the second one, it's not there. Oh, okay, that's okay. I have it here. Yeah, I just the second one is, to reflect how Jesus' triumphant entrance informs your witnessing to the world, and as well as you, the way you are trying to confront the oppressive powers of our society. So the one, how can you let Jesus enter triumphantly in your life? And the second one, how triumphant entrance of Jesus to Jerusalem informs your witnessing as well as, to the world, as well as the way you're trying to confront the oppressive powers of our society. So we will have a few minutes for you to reflect. If you want to take note, that's okay. But then, after that, I will make the invitation for you to come here to the altar. As you continue reflecting, I will read to you the psalm that we prayed before. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us. We beseech you, O Lord, O Lord. We beseech you. Give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So, brothers and sisters, God's invitation is before us. God invites us to come to this altar and offer ourselves in humility, offer ourselves in love. As the crowds put palms as he was processing into Jerusalem, come to this altar, putting yourself, recognizing Jesus' humble kingdom. As you come to this altar, maybe the gesture in which you are telling Jesus, enter triumphantly to my life, Jesus. As you come to this altar, maybe a way of saying, Jesus, I want to reflect more who you are as I witness to the world. I want to have the humility and love needed to confront the powers that oppress our world. As you come to this altar, maybe the way of saying, here is my offering, Lord. And I know as I offer myself, as I offer who I am, you will bless my life. You will bless my family. You will bless this church. You will bless our nation.